us just for a little while this morning in Mark's Gospel and chapter 1 and the 17th verse. Jesus said to them, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. I want to begin this morning by asking, who are you following? Who are you a follower of? That's a phrase that's taken on a new meaning these days, hasn't it, in terms of social media. I don't know whether you're into Twitter. Twitter is the way in which everybody speaks to one another these days, don't they? We know how these celebrities, they put out their tweets regularly. If you have a particular celebrity, maybe a pop star, maybe a sportsman, maybe a politician, maybe a media personality of some sort, you can become a follower. Every time they tweet, there's a little message comes onto your computer or onto your phone, and you can read the latest thing that they have to say. Lots of these celebrities, they have hundreds of thousands of followers, and there's almost a competition, isn't there? I wonder if you're a follower of somebody. This verse is about following. It's one of the first things Jesus said in his public ministry. It's at the time when Jesus is gathering together those disciples who will be with him during his 3 years of public ministry before he goes to the cross and dies for the sins of men and women. He sees Simon and Andrew fishing, because that was their occupation there on Galilee, he says, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." And that's what he says to us this morning. That's what he says to you and me, sat in this chapel 2,000 years later, in a very different situation, in a very different time. But that's the call of the gospel. That's the call that comes to men and women day by day, week by week, through the scriptures, by God's Spirit. And it comes to us this morning. Are we a follower of the Lord Jesus? I want us to notice three things about this statement that Jesus makes, this command, this call that came to Simon and came to Andrew, but comes to us here today. The first is that Christianity is about following Jesus. Christianity is about following Jesus. Jesus says to them, "Follow me." That's really important, isn't it? It's important to remember that Christianity is about a person. It's about an individual. It's about our reaction to him. You see, very often we can think that Christianity is a set of rules or a set of regulations. That's what people very often characterize the church as. They very often do it mockingly. They might do it harshly. They might say, Christianity is a list of do's and don'ts. But it's not. Christianity is about a person. Christianity is about following Jesus. Christianity, in that sense, is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's about having a relationship with Jesus. And it's good to remind ourselves why that is the case. Why we need a relationship with Jesus. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus has come into the world to reconcile a lost world to God, to reconcile lost people to God, to reconcile lost individuals to God. You see, the message of the Bible begins with that glorious description of how God called this world into being and how God made men and women in his image for a relationship with him. We see it there in those first couple of chapters of Genesis, how Adam and Eve had a relationship with God. How they were able to walk in the cool of the day in the garden, and they were there able to relate one to another. But everything was ruined because man chose to disobey. Man chose to go his own way. There was this fall of Adam and Eve into sin that affects every one of us who are children of Adam. And so that relationship is ruptured. It's broken. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he sent Jesus Christ into this world. And he sent Jesus into the world to reconcile this lost world to himself and to reconcile lost people to himself. Outside of Jesus Christ, we don't have a relationship with God. But with Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ, we can be reconciled to God. That's because Christ came and lived a spotless life. He kept God's law, every aspect of God's law, in word and in deed and in thought and in attitude. In every way, his life was perfect. And then he went to a cross and he died upon that cross. And the Bible says he died as a sacrifice upon that cross. Tonight we're going to be thinking about a verse in Galatians that tells us that on the cross he became a curse for us. He became sin for us. He died in our place. God's wrath, his anger, his righteous, holy anger that we deserve fell upon Jesus. And that happened so that our sins could be placed upon him and his righteousness could be ours. That Jesus is the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And so you see, Christianity is about a relationship. It's about knowing Jesus. The Bible says if we want to know God, we can know him through Jesus. If we want eternal life comes to us through the Jesus who died and who rose again. And Christianity, therefore, is centered upon him. That's why we talk of him. That's why we sing of him. That's why we read about him. That's why we preach him and proclaim him. That's why we want to tell others about him. Christianity is about following Jesus. We know that Jesus called fishermen to be his disciples, but they weren't all fishermen, were they? In Matthew chapter 9, Matthew tells us about when he was called. He was a tax collector. He was collecting taxes, going about his business, when Jesus came to him. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." You see, again, it's the person. It's not rules and regulations. It's not a way of living. It's not even, Christianity is not even just the Bible. The Bible is important. It's the word of God. It points us to Jesus. But the Bible can't save us. Remember meeting somebody here in New Inn years ago who said, "You know, I always keep the Bible by the side of my bed. And if I have the Bible by the side of my bed, I feel safe." But it's not a Bible by the side of the bed that we need. It's a Saviour living in our hearts, a Saviour with whom we have a relationship. And so the first thing that Jesus says to these people, to Simon and to Andrew, to Matthew and to others, to us this morning, is follow me. Have a living relationship with me. Come to know me. Come to love me. So here's the question, the first question this morning. Do I know Jesus? Am I trusting in Jesus? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? That's the first thing that this verse points out to us, that we have to follow Jesus. But then let's notice the second thing. Let's put the emphasis perhaps on a different word. Christianity is about following Jesus. Christianity is about following Jesus. Here, that's very obvious, isn't it? So in verse 16, we read about Simon and Andrew, and there they are, casting their net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus comes and says, "Follow me." And verse 18 tells us they immediately left their nets and followed him. So there was something very immediate, something very direct about their reaction to what Jesus said. And they leave their nets and they leave their boat and they become a follower of Jesus. It was the same with Matthew that we thought about a moment ago in Matthew chapter 9. What does he do? He just leaves his table and he gets up and he becomes a follower of Jesus. And so there's something very immediate and something very physical about what they did. But of course, you and I, it will be different for you and I, won't it? Because the physical, bodily Lord Jesus is not here now. He's at the right hand of the Majesty on high. But if he says to us this morning, follow me, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Well, it means obedience. It means making him the one who's in charge in our lives. It means doing the things that he says. It means following him as opposed to following others, to following other ways and other philosophies and other people and others who set themselves up as examples and as lords, as it were. It means trusting him for our salvation, trusting him for everlasting life, trusting him to lead us by his Spirit, that we might walk in those right paths. It means perseverance. For these disciples, it meant perseverance, didn't it? It meant keeping going. It was something permanent, something lasting, not something that was just for an instant, a flash in the pan moment, as it were. It means cross-bearing. Jesus always reminded people, if you're going to follow me, you need to take up your cross and follow me. If you want to be my disciple, that's going to be a hard thing. That's going to be a difficult thing. Following Jesus means very often the disdain and the reproach and the mockery of the world. We see it again and again, don't we? We've seen it recently with that politician who's standing to be the leader of the Scottish Nationalist Party. She's a Christian and she believes biblical things and she lives her life according to biblical standards. And we've seen the way in which people have poured their scorn upon her and said, how can this person possibly stand for office if she believes these things? When perhaps we might be thinking, how could you elect anybody else, anybody who doesn't believe those things? Christianity is about following Jesus. And following Jesus isn't easy. Following Jesus sometimes leads us into problems and into persecution and into trials and into tribulations that we would never face if we were just leading our own lives or if we were following somebody else. But Christianity is about following the Lord Jesus. So are you a follower of the Lord Jesus? Are you trusting him? Are you obeying him? Are you seeking to be like him? Is he your Lord and your Master? Do you seek to do the things that he commands you to do and not to do those things he forbids you from doing? Are you willing to persevere in that way, to walk in the way that he commands you to do? Christianity is about following Jesus. Christianity is about following Jesus. What will that look like? Well, one of the ways it will look like is that we will be reaching out to others. That's the third thing that you find here in this verse. That Christianity is about reaching others. Now, it's an interesting picture that Jesus uses. Jesus was the master preacher, wasn't he? He was the best at dealing with people where they were and using pictures that they could associate with. And that's what he does with these disciples. They're fishermen. They've spent their life, that's their career, trying to catch fish. We know from other stories, don't we, in the New Testament, how sometimes they were successful and sometimes they weren't successful. We can remember a story, can't we? Two stories where they were out fishing all night and they didn't catch a thing. But that wasn't for the want of trying. They were there. They were in the boat. They were on the water. They were doing all the things that fishermen do. Why? Because they wanted to catch fish. They wanted to bring home the fish. They wanted their boats to be laden with fish. We remember how those stories end. They end with Jesus stepping in and the great multitude of fish that they ended up with. But it's to these fishermen that Jesus says, I want you to give up catching fish. I want you to catch men. I want you to catch women. I want you to catch boys and girls. I want you to catch people. I want you to bring them home. I want you to bring them into the boat. I want you to bring them into the kingdom. And you know, that's what Christianity is about. It's about reaching others. Somebody has said the church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of those who are not yet in it. I think that might be overstretching it a little bit, but it's got a point, doesn't it? There are people outside who need to be brought in. There are people outside who need to be caught, if you like. They need to be brought into the boat. And as followers of Jesus, that's what we should be seeking to do. Don't know whether any of you are fishermen, fisherwomen. It's quite a popular hobby, isn't it? And never tried it myself, just seems such a long time that people spend doing that. I know one or two people who do fish. Sometimes watch Mortimer and Whitehouse on the television and we see them fishing. And it's a very skilled thing, isn't it? Something that demands patience. They can be there with their rods and their line and they can be there for hours and hours. And so there's perseverance and there's patience there, isn't there? There's some great skill there, isn't there? Looking for the right place on the river, perhaps the place where the fish are more likely to bite, spreading their nets or casting their rods at a particular time, at a particular place. Then there's the question of what bait are they going to use. This river perhaps has this sort of fish in it, so we might use this bait as opposed to that bait. It's not a haphazard thing, is it? You know, as believers, people here in the church, as we look around us, we see people in our families, loved ones, our friends, our neighbours, our workmates. We should be saying, how can I reach them? We should be persevering. We should be using the wisdom that God has given us. As a church, we should be thinking. Maybe we'll do some of that tomorrow afternoon. Thinking about, again, how can we reach out? How can we draw people in? How can we be fishers of men and women that they might come to know Jesus, that they might become followers of the Lord Jesus? Jesus says, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Well, what did these men do? What did Simon and Andrew do? They became followers. What did Matthew do? He became a follower. His life was transformed. There was a time when Jesus died, and when they didn't realize that he had risen again, that they said, we're going to go back fishing. But then Jesus came to them again, didn't he? And they saw that he was alive. They saw that they still needed to follow him, followed him for the rest of their lives. So the challenge that comes to us this morning, am I following Jesus? Am I following Jesus? Am I seeking to reach out to others that they might find him as well? May God help us to do that day by day, week by week, until he calls us to be with him. Let's sing number 53 as we close.